The State House Committee on Detroit's Recovery and Michigan's Future continues hearings today. At stake, just what the state's role should be in helping Detroit out of bankruptcy, specifically whether the state will kick in $195 million to that so-called grand bargain to shore up pensions and protect the city's art collection. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes joins us now. We saw Detroit EM Kevin Orr before the committee on Tuesday basically begging for that money. And now, Daniel, you're saying it's about choice, not dogma, not payback?
Well, I think it ought to be. I mean, this whole notion that we're going to set a precedent here with Detroit, I would respond, well, duh. Yes, of course you're going to set a precedent. Detroit's been setting precedents for at least the last 5 years with first the auto bailouts and now all of the stuff that's happened since the bankruptcy of Detroit, and now we're trying to get it out of bankruptcy. You know, it's interesting. The $195 million of net present value is roughly equivalent to the so-called revenue sharing payment that the state supposedly owes Detroit. I don't think that's really been pointed out, but, you know, I think they have to, they're in a situation right now where they have to choose. And this whole notion about we don't want to do that or we don't want to set any precedent or we go down that road. I mean, the fact is the only city and municipality in the state of Michigan that's in Chapter 9 bankruptcy is the city of Detroit. There's nine of these other ones. And in fact, you've seen cities like Pontiac and some of the smaller ones that have gone through the emergency management process and emerged on the other side. Now, whether at some point down the road they have to look at Chapter 9, that remains to be seen. But this is a very singular case, and I think it has to be viewed as a singular case and also recognize that that money that they put into the situation now is likely to be a lot less than if they go down the road and they have to cut pensions more because the grand bargain falls apart, and this is likely to become a lot more expensive later.
Well, you point out in your column in today's Detroit News that we've seen a lot of the stakeholders in this bankruptcy make a choice, almost like your litany almost sounds like the lion shall lie down with the lambs from the Bible. We've got labor joining with management, business joining with the political class, private foundations working with corporations and the public sector. So it's you've seen these choices get made.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think because all those groups are doing their due diligence and kind of doing a cost-benefit analysis, and this is where they've come down. And the last one to do this is going to be the legislature. You know, the other thing that's interesting here is the legislature, if you kind of comb through the 11 bills as part of the grand bargain package that are under consideration, they're dredging up a lot of things that were undertaken in confidential mediation and rejected by both sides, some of which are issues that are really inflammatory to pension funds and unions. And a lot of these lawmakers, of course, were not parties to those mediations, and nor should they have been. But they are now prosecuting their own separate agendas, whether it has to do with the DIA tax and the millage renewal out in Macomb County, or it has to do with 401ks for new hires in the city of Detroit. There's a lot of issues that the city has kind of moved beyond, and now they're bringing them up at the 11th hour to be essentially litigated and legislated in a very tight time frame.
What about the oversight? State oversight of the city. There's some questions about how that's going to rest at the Coleman A. Young Municipal Center.
Well, it's not going to rest well, but what other choice do they have? I mean, let's be realistic here. Bankruptcy comes with strings. And typically the people who provide the money hold on to the strings. We saw it in the case of the General Motors bailout by the federal government, where the federal government had oversight over compensation. And other things, they tried to let the people run their business, and they pretty much did. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the situation here. I mean, that's what the state is saying. But to somehow suggest that they're not going to have any oversight, I think is just very unrealistic. And if the situation were reversed, I think people would take that position.
Well, we know there are still people in Michigan who feel, number one, that the polls that indicate that voters approve of some kind of state help in Detroit's bankruptcy aren't true. And they also feel, second, even if state dollars go to Detroit, eventually the city will fall back into bad old habits. It'll be bad business as usual in Detroit. Do you worry about that happening, or has this unprecedented bankruptcy business just blasted Detroit into an all-new way of running things that's going to last?
I certainly see a different kind of leadership in the city of Detroit right now. I see under Mike Duggan and the city council. Now, they're not unfettered, obviously. They're operating under an emergency manager, and they'll be operating under some measure of state oversight probably in the future. But I think that, I think we're moving into a different chapter here. I'm not at all persuaded that this that Detroit's dysfunction is immutable and it will never change. You know, they said the same thing about companies like the Detroit automakers, that they could never change. They could never be profitable. They could never have competitive labor agreements. They could never have cars and trucks that people want to buy. And guess what? They do.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a searing experience for them to get there. Now, is this going to be enough for Detroit? It's been a pretty humbling experience. And, you know, when you have a little success, and when residents start to say, hey, the garbage is getting picked up, and hey, the police response times are better, that starts to take on a life of its own. Oh, and let me not forget, and the lights are on.
And the lights are on.
You know, so, I mean, I think those can also have an impact on how people view this whole process and whether it was successful. And then you also get a situation that many of us know about in our personal lives, which is, you know, once you make certain changes, you look in the mirror and you say, I'm never going back.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes with our Thursday check-in. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you.